What is up? Welcome to a new episode of On the NBA with Coach Dave. I am Coach Dave Dufour, and joining me on this episode is my good buddy Michael Schwartz from ESPN Stats and Info. He's just a huge Phoenix Suns fan, and I could tell how disappointed he was that they got the fourth pick. And so I really just wanted to talk to him about it, and I figured I'd record it and put it out as a podcast because you could sort of sense his frustration with the situation. And then we go on to talk a little bit about the draft in general and the future of a few franchises and you know, some of the moves that they should consider making leading up to the draft and this summer. So I hope you guys enjoy it. Always a lot of fun for me to talk to Mike. Fired up you right now for the number four pick.
Are we starting?
Dude, I've started doing the running start. I've complained about this since the first episode with you on there. Like the whole, hey, how's it going? Like yeah, we just yeah. didn't talk. Like I wasn't just texting with you.
Yeah. So look, it's not the worst. It's par for the course. It's disappointing because it always happens in Suns history, going back to the Kareem coin flip. Yes, going back that far to the very beginning of the franchise, but it's not that big of a deal because realistically, you want Fultz if you think he's the best guy in the draft, and it kind of seems like he is. But if not, Josh Jackson's kind of the fit for this team. So you'd love to be at three, so you would really have a good chance at him. But like last year, after the top two, I kind of wanted Bender, and that's who they got, you know? So if they get Josh Jackson, how can you be disappointed about that?
Well, you know, last year I thought they got really lucky. Not only did they get Bender, yes. who I loved, but they got Marquese Chriss, who by the right. end of the year looks like one of the better dudes from the last draft. So
yes, in a weak draft.
In a weak draft, yeah, absolutely. So far. So, you know, you said Josh Jackson, if he falls to four. Am I crazy to think that Josh Jackson like should be in play at one? I know like the Celtics don't necessarily need that position filled, but at the same time, that's a hell of a luxury to have, right? Like I think Josh Jackson might be the best player in this draft when we go back and look at it again, you know?
I think he might be the safest player in the draft because you know he's going to be really good. Like his floor is probably really good role player, you know? So that's valuable knowing that you're at least getting something. It looks like a very low bust rate. And if he gets his shooting right, who knows? Absolutely, the sky's the limit because he's got all the intangibles. He feels like he's the kind of guy that winning teams have. And from that sense, you could see him stepping right in from day one and helping the Celtics compete in the East next year. So no, I don't think that's completely crazy, but Fultz seems to have the highest ceiling, so you got to think he's going one.
Yeah, I think Fultz is the safe pick at one. But how pissed are you going to be when the Lakers take Josh Jackson at two?
I don't think that's a possibility.
I really don't think it's going to be Lonzo. I'm going Yeah, I'm going out on a limb here, and I'm going to say I don't think it's going to be Lonzo.
So who would it be?
Well, first of all, you know they loved that De'Aaron Fox. Ripped the shit out of Lonzo. Like they loved that. And, you know, like, with Magic in there, I think it's hard to tell, man. Like, you know, those guys are really big on how the players perform in head-to-head matchups.
Yeah.
It seems like it's like the older players care so much about that. And I think that it's going to be tough for them to erase what Kentucky did to UCLA. I just think that – I think there's a chance that it's De'Aaron Fox, which seems insane. But – Josh Jackson could go there too. I don't know. I'm not sold that it's going to be Lonzo.
Fox is insane to me. Did you see, I think it was Ramona's report on ESPN.com, that Lonzo might only work out for the Lakers? I mean, you knew that was coming.
I think it's a mistake. Because
of course it's a mistake, because then what if they don't take him?
Well, and the flaws in his game are starting to
right.
Like, the video evidence is starting to mount all over the internet now. And right. You know, this is probably stuff that scouts have seen for a while, right? Like his inability to run the pick and roll. He's got a weak handle. See, he's not a point guard, or at least a traditional point guard. He would actually work well with Luke Walton, you know, somewhere where he doesn't like pound the rock, right? And they've got that nice motion, ball movement offense. So it's not a, it's not the worst fit. But then that, that other report, oh, I don't know who reported this. You probably do. That I guess teams are now starting to call about D'Angelo Russell, which I think would be a huge mistake for the Lakers.
But that's not a story that teams are calling about a guy. I'm sure teams call about guys all the time, and it makes sense to call about him with the Lakers getting the number two pick and probably picking a point guard.
But I wonder, I wonder if it's has to do with the, you know, the Mozgov Deng thing. If teams are going to start saying, hey, you know what, we'll take Mozgov or Deng if you throw in Russell.
Yeah.
Apparently the Lakers aren't completely sold on Russell, which I can't wrap my head around. Okay, yeah. I get, like, I mean, the guys had 2 years, right? Like 1 year with Byron Scott, so that shouldn't count, right?
Right.
So and last year I thought he was pretty good. I mean, he had moments, right? It's a really young team. They're not quite sure what they're doing yet. You know, there was a lot of lineup, you know, changes throughout the season. They were kind of experimenting with things. And so I just think to throw away a guy who looks like he has that much talent, I think it would be a waste. Although I'm sure Phoenix would love him.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's tight with Booker.
Yeah. If you were the Phoenix Suns, would you trade the number four pick for D'Lo?
For D'Angelo? No, I don't do it, because then you have the same Bledsoe concern. You've got only 2 years left on a rookie deal, and not a cheap rookie deal since he was the number two overall pick. There's just not enough value as what you could get at a number four right now, having the guy locked up for fairly cheap for 4 years. Now, if you do it in concert with a Bledsoe trade, now that's interesting. So Bledsoe is kind of the other thing I'm stewing on right now. He's got 2 years left. He's underpaid for the current market, as most guys are who signed 3 years ago. Great cap-friendly deal, around $14 million these next 2 years. But after that, he'll be near 30. He's got the injury concerns. You don't know how well he's going to age with all the knee injuries he's had. And that next contract is probably going to be a monster. So I don't know if Eric Bledsoe, and to say nothing of the fact that he doesn't fit the timeline of your Chris and Bender and Booker. So with all that being said, it kind of makes sense that this would be the summer where you trade him, where you still have 2 years left, where he's going to be giving you great production for his contract. If he's not going to be the starting point guard on the next great Suns team, which I'm starting to feel like will be the case with as young as they're going in the draft. So if you could get D'Angelo and say a Jackson and or Tatum out of this for Bledsoe, then you do it in a heartbeat, you know?
Yeah.
So if you could, the Lakers unfortunately have three and not like eight, you know, let's say the Lakers had the number eight pick, well, yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, so that I the other day I was throwing out Bledsoe trade ideas, which is one of my favorite pastimes, because I actually think that they should have probably traded him last summer.
Sure.
Right?
Because
you're not going to be competitive for at least this past season and next season.
Yeah.
And like we talked about, he's more valuable the sooner that you move him because his contract is so good.
Right, right.
So I was thinking of teams like, you know, the usual suspects, Detroit, Orlando, and then I threw this out there that Philly is an interesting place for him.
Yep.
Because he's sort of this almost veteran, and they've got a young team, but it's more talented than what Phoenix has. Like, I think Philly could potentially, with a guy like Bledsoe and maybe, you know, a couple more role players, could potentially be, like, in striking distance of the eight seed next year.
I don't think striking distance. I think they've got a good shot.
Right. But
at making the playoffs.
Oh, you think as they stand currently?
No.
Oh, okay.
After your offseason. I mean, I'm hot on the Lowry to Philly.
I don't know if that's going to happen, but so this is my thought, right? Like, would you rather have Lowry at a max contract, or would you rather have Bledsoe on his deal?
You'd rather have Bledsoe.
Right.
Of course.
And so, you know, my thought was, does Philly need another young guy if you're not getting Markelle Fultz? No, I don't think so. I think they've got a lot of pieces that are young as it is. And I'd love to see them take that third pick, and shop it around and look for a Bledsoe. I mean, you might be able to get Bledsoe and something else
right
from Phoenix. And maybe even now, I don't know, but maybe like Bledsoe, like a pick swap basically. So it's like Bledsoe for Josh Jackson, essentially. Does that make sense?
Yeah. If the Suns, I mean, I think the Suns would have to give up more than that for three, right?
Well, I'm saying, yeah, Bledsoe and the four pick for the third pick.
Oh no, that's crazy. Cause might get, that's the Trubisky trade.
No, so they would have to give up something, but like
Bledsoe's worth a hell of a lot more than one spot of draft order.
You think?
One spot of draft order,
but again,
we're not.
Well, and that's true. You know what? And
four might be better than here. Three. Yeah, and they might be taking. They might be taking De'Aaron Fox. You know, you don't want it to be a 49er situation where it's, a Bears situation really where hey, you get the guy you want anyway, and you get all sorts of other picks. So.
Wasn't the trade I worked out. Oh, no. You know what it was? It was when this scenario was when they also got the Lakers pick.
Right.
That's what it was.
Now,
yeah.
That would make sense.
Yeah. Again, I didn't write this thing down. I just did it on a podcast. Actually, wasn't even on the podcast. It was a post-podcast conversation, as you know, I am apt to have.
But if you, I completely agree. If Philly would have had 3-5 or 2-5. Then they could trade five for Bledsoe.
Right.
And that's the kind of trade that would make perfect sense for the Suns. Because if you can come out of here with Jackson or Tatum plus a point guard of the future for Bledsoe, then I think that would be the perfect draft scenario. And in fact, throw in TJ Warren maybe.
I love TJ. You know how I feel about TJ Warren.
Yeah.
That guy is a professional scorer. Like, I think he could be a 20-point-a-game guy, you know, on a team where he's going to get the touches. He would actually be pretty good in Philly, I think, as like the three. That would be a really interesting team.
Bledsoe and Warren for three? Is that crazy for?
I don't think so. I think it'd be a great deal for Philly, I think.
I think it would be a great deal for the Suns.
Well, sure. But you know, there's this thing where a lot of people don't believe that a trade can be good, mutually beneficial.
Sure, sure.
But I think that's an instance where it is, just because Philly, I think they're ready to compete.
I think so too, if they're healthy.
Right, if they're healthy. My biggest concern is I want Dario Saric to get starters minutes. I want him to get 28 to 30 minutes a night. And I'm worried that Simmons is going to be in the way of that.
Yeah,
I think they should be playing together. But anyway, that's something for another podcast. But okay, so now... Be Danny Ainge for me.
Yeah.
Okay. A lot of people that I respect, draft guys, are already saying they feel like, and they were saying this before the lottery, that maybe Boston should just move that pick. If you're Boston, would you take the risk of trading for like Jimmy Butler? I'm not saying Paul George because no one's he has no trade value. Because he's going to leave next summer.
Oh, I don't agree with that.
He's going to leave next summer and go to L.A. So I think unless you're L.A.
We don't know that.
Dude, come on. The writing's on the wall. You think Phoenix...
I think Boston's the one scenario where it would be different. If he goes to Boston and they go play in the finals and lose to the Warriors in six, you think he's just going to be like, I'm out of here. I want to go play for the lottery Lakers who haven't done anything in 5 years.
You think Paul... Do you think Paul George could put them over the hump with Cleveland?
Could.
Okay.
We don't. And one so more think, year on LeBron's odometer.
I think
all
Jimmy
those guys
Butler,
get another year older.
I think I'd do that trade for Jimmy Butler before I'd do it for Paul George. The contract, the player that Jimmy Butler is to me, he and Paul George are pretty close. And yeah, I think I would rather have Jimmy Butler. Plus,
but I mean, Butler's only one more extra year.
Okay, but then you get 2 years instead of one, right? Like, sure, I think that extra year matters. Although I guess
it certainly matters.
George has an option year, correct?
Well, but it's going to be declined. So,
but
I mean,
maybe you get him to pick it up.
No, you won't, because even if he re-signed for 1 year, it would be much higher. So he's not going to pick it up. I mean, he's absolutely a huge flight risk, and it's tough to trade. And I don't think the Lakers should trade for him either.
No, it'd be a huge
anything,
mistake. That's the Carmelo.
Massive mistake, yes. If Carmelo. We learned anything from Melo, you don't trade for a guy who's coming there anyways. So, and then if the Lakers could actually put together a package good enough to get him, and now they can, now that they have this number two pick, there won't be enough left to be good with Paul George, you know?
What?
You certainly won't be. How would that be better than what he's got in Indy with Miles Turner, which isn't much, but, you
Miles
know.
Miles Turner's better than everybody on the Lakers.
Right, right. So, but the Boston one's tricky because, I mean, you're talking about a team that was the number one seed. Granted, we all know they're not as good as Cleveland, and they might even get swept, losing five, six max. They're not on Cleveland's level, but you add a Paul George. I mean, you could add Paul George and Gordon Hayward this summer. You know, that's in play.
Do you really think Hayward's going to go to Boston?
I think it's in play.
I mean, it's in play just like he could go to Miami, but I think it's
I'd say if he goes anywhere, it's Boston.
Okay, is that solely because of the Stevens thing, or do you think
because of the Stevens thing? It's the fact that they're a number one seed that just got the number one overall pick and can offer him a max contract.
Do you feel like as a player you go there and it's like too many guys, or do you think Boston has to then move guys?
No, well, yeah, they have to move guys.
Who would you move? I mean, if you're Danny Ainge, let's say you make the trade, right? You trade for Jimmy Butler and you sign Hayward. Then what? You've got super duper subs.
I've got one for you.
Oh no!
And this almost feels sacrilegious with what's happened this season. But Isaiah Thomas is the guy you move.
I've been saying that for months because I don't want to pay him that next contract.
Exactly.
And people are probably
his peak.
He's at the peak of his value.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm with you. And people have been giving me shit about this because, you know, it's Isaiah Thomas. And granted, he's been great. This is not a knock on him.
Absolutely.
But that contract,
not at all a knock on
that
him.
Contract is amazing.
And it's going to become not amazing.
Absolutely, because he's going to get the max.
Right. Oh, maybe though. He's still a 5'9" guy who really struggles defensively, and it's not going to get better when he's in his early 30s.
Have you? This is kind of off topic, but about Isaiah Thomas. I was on Synergy and I dug into his post-up defensive stats because the Wizards were really driving me crazy by disrupting their offense, trying to post him up.
Yeah.
He's actually a good defender in post-ups.
Huh.
But if you think about it, he's like 5'8 and 190 pounds.
Yeah.
So he's hard to move. And you know, little guys, like, we have to be smart in the post. So if you drop the ball, like, he's knocking the ball away, things like that. So anyway, quick aside, that's the one spot where he's actually good in defense. So,
but, I mean, just looking at it financially, you got one more cheap year, then he becomes a free agent. You have to pay him the massive extension. It could be in the $200 million range. Now, granted, they don't have to give him that. They could offer him more of $450 million, but even that's something that's way more than I would. Basically, just like with Bledsoe, I don't want to pay Isaiah Thomas's next contract. His next contract is going to be the exact opposite of what this one is. So if you have to move somebody, and if you could get massive value for him, like, what if you could put him in a Paul George trade?
Now that's interesting.
You know, then Indiana starts with Isaiah and Miles Turner. That's not bad at all. You know, if they can't get people to Indiana, maybe they do want to pay him.
And then
you get Fultz. And so, I mean, the thing with Boston is they have every possible way that they can go. You know, you can start over with Fultz and I shouldn't say start over. They're the number one seed in the East Finals.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, you could go the youth way with Fultz. You could go all in by trying to bring in two stars in a three-star system with Isaiah Thomas and try to build up this core and, you know, trade next year's Nets pick too. You could do a hybrid. There's just so many ways. And if I'm Gordon Hayward and I'm leaving Utah, where else has a better situation than that overall? And again, I don't think you can look at their roster because anything can change with that roster. They're all movable pieces. They're all on good contracts.
Except for Horford.
Except, but that's not a terrible contract.
No, it's not. It's not bad yet. I mean,
it's a market value contract.
Sure.
So, and that's the problem. Everyone else is going to be on market value contracts. I mean, Avery Bradley is going to get overpaid.
Do you remember when that contract looked like so much money?
You know what? I remember in, God, this must have been 6 years ago now, Conley signed like a 5-year, $45 million deal, and I thought that was a terrible deal for Memphis. I thought that was way too much. And now he's getting $150 million, and it doesn't even look that bad, you know?
It's insane how the economics have just totally changed.
But that's the other thing. To me, that all stops. After this year, the cap stops going up. It might even go down slightly. So this is it for deals not looking so bad in the future. And once everyone's on these market rate deals, it's going to, again, be tough to really build a team unless you have some of the cheaper guys locked in. You're going to eventually have to lose somebody.
Well, the Celtics have a similar situation, and it probably hasn't been brought up enough. People keep bringing the Warriors up, like the Curry deal is, you know, the most valuable deal in the sport. But Klay and Draymond are both, you know, not making that much in comparison to their performance. But the Celtics have Jay Crowder on an incredible contract. They've got Avery Bradley on an incredible contract.
Isaiah Thomas on an incredible contract. Yep. And then they got rookie deals. You got Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart.
Yeah, exactly. So Danny Ainge is really kind of done this incredible job. I mean, to get the one seed, and even though we know it's kind of a fake one seed, to get the one seed and to still have this much flexibility is just nuts. I actually think they need to move the 2018 Nets pick this summer because I think the Nets are going to be better next year. I don't think it's going to be a first overall situation.
Yeah.
And I think that the longer you wait, just like with this one, until they got the number one pick, the longer you wait, the less valuable it is.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something that we could see on the move rather than this year's number one. Like they might take Fultz, trade next year's pick and Isaiah Thomas. They probably aren't going to trade Isaiah Thomas, but let's say they do.
I don't know, man.
They could take Fultz, sign Hayward, and get Jimmy Butler or Paul George.
Yep.
Does that make them better than Cleveland? Probably.
I mean, at some point, Cleveland's not going to be Cleveland. You know, LeBron James, 32 years old. The guy's going to at least become at least 90% of what he is, you know, and eventually 80% of what he is. He's not going to be.
When?
Yeah, no, it's unbelievable. It's absolutely unbelievable what he's doing. No question about that. But he's not going to do this forever. And, you know, they're going to have issues. I mean, most of their key guys are locked in, but they're so into tax hell that they're not going to be able to really be adding pieces. They don't have draft picks to make their Kyle Korver trade that they seem to make every year. You know, Cleveland's not going to be getting better, per se, unless a Kyrie improves or something like that, you know? So it's not a moving target. They are what they are. And again, a 7-game series, you never know. Who was better last year, Golden State or Cleveland?
Oh, well, for sure. I think Golden State was better.
Who wins that series? I'd say 8 out of 10 times. Probably Golden State, right?
Golden State, for sure.
But that particular time, Cleveland won it. So even if they're not per se better than Cleveland, if they're close enough, that's all you can do. And then you've got Markelle Fultz. And, you know, I mean, you can't wait too long. I feel like this is the summer that they do something huge.
The Celtics. They have to.
The Celtics, yeah.
Yeah, they have to. All right, so just a quick rundown of how things played out. So Boston got the first pick. The Lakers got the second pick.
Mm-hmm.
Philly got third. Phoenix with 4. Sacramento with 5 and 10.
But the Sacramento thing, again, it was a pick swap with Philly. They really got number 3.
Right.
But based on that terrible, worst trade in NBA history, Philly was able to swap back up to 3.
Which, it honestly, for Sacramento, doesn't even matter. Like, because they're going to...
Yes, absolutely.
No, I just think that whoever they draft, they're just going to ruin them anyway. Like, I mean, it makes me sound like a jerk to say that, and maybe things would be different, but I think that at five, you know, if I'm guessing, I would say they probably wind up with like Dennis Smith, who I think should be a good player in the NBA. But I just don't trust what they're going to do with him.
So they maybe Fox.
Yeah, Fox. They seem to like Fox quite a bit.
I mean, they badly need a point guard. I'd say it's a lock that either 5 or 10 is a point guard.
Do you remember that this was supposed to be the point guard draft? It was like every team that needed a point guard in the lottery was going to get one. And now the closer we get...
You don't think so?
Well, there are a lot of point guards, but it's like they all have some huge flaw, except for Fultz. Sure. They all have some huge flaw.
Well, Fultz is a flaw. His team won 2 games in a crappy conference.
Okay, but Ben Simmons kind of caught flack for
sure. But they at least were at least a decent team. This Washington team was awful.
Yeah, but can you know did he have any good players with him? I don't know. I don't watch college basketball.
I mean they were okay. I mean clearly they weren't that good. But okay. I mean this Pac-12 conference, U of A just ran roughshod over when they weren't playing Oregon or UCLA.
Sure.
And Oregon and UCLA did the same thing. Like this USC was okay, you know, a couple okay teams besides the big three, but like to win 2 games in a fairly mediocre conference, especially fairly bad to mediocre when you take out the top 3, like that's somewhat of a red flag, you know?
If you're
a generational talent, and you can't win more than 2 games in the Pac-12, I still just can't comprehend it. And I know Fultz is number 1. I'm sure he'll be very good. But there's just something wrong to me about that when you figure a top player himself should be worth, you know, at least going 500 in your conference, even if you're playing with me and you in a meet.
Sure. See, I the Amin slander. Oh man, not a shooter. So, you see, I would rather have next year's, like a top 3 pick in next year's draft than this year, because next year you've got Michael Porter Jr. would be the number 1 pick in this draft. DeAndre Ayton, who's probably going 2nd or 3rd next year, would be the number 1 pick in this draft, and then Luka Doncic would be the number 1 pick in this draft, who's probably going to go like 2nd or 3rd. So it's you know. This was supposed to be this amazing draft, and I think that there's a lot of players.
But you know, we hear that every year how great next year's draft is.
Yeah, and I guess it's we get another year to like let these guys put some warts on themselves. Like Markel Fultz wasn't a loser until he went to Washington.
Right.
Right. So
next year's class might be incredible.
Sure.
You know, to me, from what I hear of Ayton, he sounds like Joel Embiid without the injury concerns, you know?
Yeah.
Once we watch him play, that might not be the case anymore, but...
Yeah, well, we're probably not going to see him play at U of A, but, you know,
I know
that's a sore spot.
I still think we will, but...
You got to look at Doncic. I actually think Doncic should have come into the draft this year, but there might have been a contract issue, but that guy is going to be... He's going to be really good. He might be Michael Jordan of that class, right? Where it's like, how did he go 3?
Yeah.
Instead of 1. I don't mean like he's going to be Michael Jordan.
Right.
I always got to couch these things. Like I made a joke the other day about playoff Danny Green. It's like, I think I trust playoff Danny Green over Michael Jordan. It's clearly hyperbole and a joke. But people were like, man, you are a nut. And I'm like, well, it's a joke, man. Because playoff Danny Green he always seems to hit 3s when you need him.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. So Orlando is 6. Which is interesting. Minnesota at 7. Who, if you're Minnesota, would you try to trade that pick and maybe get a guy like on
veteran.
on a second contract? Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I still like building. If you can get a great piece to add to your core, why not? I mean, what they need is a bench.
Sure. Absolutely.
I mean, Tibbs doesn't play a bench.
Right. Yeah. He's only playing 8 guys. I mean, that's that D'Antoni stuff, man.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess they could use a solid veteran. But I mean, look at last year. We thought Dunn was such a great pick for them, and he didn't do anything.
Yeah, you know what? All right, so I know he's like an older rookie, but at the same time, you know, I don't know that he got a chance to really. I think that guys like that need to get out and play. I just don't think you can just bring him off the bench and you know play him 12 minutes a night and expect him to do a lot. I think that guys like Dunn. You know, I think he needs to have the ball in his hands more. Not that he necessarily has to be the starter, but I think he needs to play, you know, 22 minutes a night before you can see him do some stuff. Because toward the end of the season, I thought he looked much better. He's got to improve his shot, though.
Yeah.
The Knicks. Oh, man. So the Knicks go on that stupid winning streak, win a couple games, and now they've got the number 8 pick. And they may not even wind up getting Frank, the kid from France, whose last name I just can't be bothered to learn how to pronounce yet.
You figure they'll get a point guard. I mean, if you figure...
There's a lot of them out there.
Yeah, I think they'll get one of those top... if you call Dennis Smith a top guy, right?
I love Dennis
Smith. So, I mean, Ball, yeah. Fultz, Smith, Fox.
Man, what if Lonzo Ball falls all the way to number 8?
That would be wild.
It would be insane. And the Knicks would definitely pick him.
I mean, he's either going... I mean, I think there's still a greater than 90% chance he goes 2.
Sure. But there are people trying to convince themselves that he might go 1 to Boston, and I think that would be insane.
I was there in studio in Sports Nation when he said, when he told the world he'd rather play for the Lakers than be the number 1 overall pick, and that just screamed red flag to me. I mean, maybe I'm crazy that's my red flag, but, you know, it just felt like you don't want the guy already to be looking at leaving before you even draft him,
sure.
You know?
Yeah, no,
so, absolutely. And then you've given kind of the scouting angle when we've talked about him, the mid-range stuff, the defense, you know, there's enough red flags that if he was the best player in the draft or someone who was just a bona fide superstar in the making, you don't worry about his dad or any of that ridiculous stuff. But with all his flaws on top of that, I just don't want to deal with it, you know?
Right. I think he could be a good player, but I just think
the
stuff that you saw in college, I don't know how well it translates. And I'm still not sold on him as a shooter. I just think that the fact that he has to come across his body, even though he's got, like, I saw the sports science, the ESPN sports science thing. He does have a quick release, but, you know, I don't know. I hope he's good because I think he does play as a coach, he plays the right way, quote unquote. He does try to make the right basketball play at all times. And I think that he's an unselfish guy. And I hate that he's kind of been tarnished because of how his dad acts, but whatever. So the Mavericks at 9, and we'll wrap it up right after this. All the mock drafts have your guy, Lowry,
that would be funny, right?
Going to the Mavs. Look, the Dirk comparison is lazy at best.
Yeah,
it's just because he's white and European.
Yep,
and it's, well, just like
people... and a 7-footer shoots the hell out of the three ball.
And but that's all right. So people forget that Dirk used to actually be a pretty damn good athlete. Like, he ran the floor really well. Markkanen doesn't run the floor that well. Markkanen's defense is atrocious. He rebounds like a small guard, and not like an Avery Bradley or Terry Rozier small guard, but like an Isaiah Thomas. I don't get it. I like him much better at like 16 than I do at 9. How do you feel? I know this. You're not going to slander your U of A. You know,
well, there's no reason to slander him.
Oh no! Oh no!
No, I mean, again, we talk about high floors. He's got an incredibly high floor because if you're a 7-footer who can shoot the ball, you're going to have a role in this league the way it's going. I think some of his movement was a little better than what you're saying. Defensively, sure, kind of a mess.
He can shoot the hell out of the ball, though, and he can shoot it in a lot of different ways. He can shoot it on the catch. He can shoot it coming off the screen. And actually, they ran some really interesting 4-5 pick and roll stuff that I would love to see more of. You know, I would love to see what he could do if given the opportunity to do a little bit more of that. But I just didn't see enough out of a guy who is that bad at defense to draft him top 10. But, you know, what do I know?
Sure. But, I mean, also, how many guys in the NBA are from Finland? You know, what kind of competition had growing up?
It's true.
You know, like, this was his first year playing at that kind of a level. And he did a great job. You know, he came in as somewhat I mean, not to people, I guess, real recruiting experts, but, you know, somewhat unheralded. And he was U of A's best player by far from day one on a number two seed, you know, to go to the opposite of Markelle Fultz. Granted, he had talent around him.
Sure.
But he just really opened up the floor. He sucked everything in, you know?
Yeah.
So if at worst, he's a better version of Channing Frye.
See, I was going to say, what if he's like a not quite as good version of Ryan Anderson? Like if he's 90% of Ryan Anderson, it's still a good player.
That's pretty good.
It's a good player, right. And that's where I'd lean.
I mean, that's a $20 million a year player.
Right, and exactly. And so this is my point about the Dirk comparison. I just think
sure.
the Dirk comparison, like that's like an all-timer. You know, like why don't we like temper it a little bit and just, you know.
Well, it's ridiculous for any kid to be compared to a top 10 player of all time.
Whoa,
you know?
Wait, Dirk is top 10 of all time?
It's top 10 scoring.
Oh, okay, okay. I was like, oh, that's a whole other podcast.
Yeah.
So,
no, top 10 scoring list.
Yeah, all right.
But, yeah, it's, you can't do that and just because they're European
and
7 feet tall and
it's racist.
Shoot the hell out of it.
It's racist. But,
right.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, like in football, if you've got a black quarterback coming out of college, they always compare him to some other black quarterback.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's just garbage. Anyway, it's lazy. Man, I was just about to say something else and I just completely forgot. I guess that's a good time to wrap it up then. Oh, yeah, I know. A guy, this is homework for you, Mike.
Okay.
Edmund Sumner, Xavier. I want you to just watch some of his tape and then just text me about it. That's all I'm saying. That's
a homework assignment?
That's your homework assignment.
Where's he supposed to go?
End of the first, beginning of the second round. But I think that guy's going to be like a 7 to 8-time All-Star. He's a super talent. 6'5 point guard. Positional size, really good athlete. He's a little shy as far as shooting goes, but man, is he explosive. Anyway, all right, so that's enough. That was my sleeper.
But yeah, I mean, just go circle back to the Suns at 4.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It feels like there's at least five pretty high level prospects, right? Would you say?
Oh, absolutely.
Ball, Fox, Jackson, and Tatum.
Well, I like Monk too, but
Monk,
Monk
a lot too.
He doesn't really fit in Phoenix. You know, if you're drafting for fit, but if you're just drafting for talent, I think Monk is good.
Agreed.
And I actually think Monk winds up being a better pro than Lonzo.
And Dennis Smith, really.
I'm telling you, man, that guy is like a Westbrookian type athlete. He is a ridiculous athlete. And you know, he's now a year removed or more than a year removed from the ACL stuff.
Yeah.
I think that the NC State, like, people are going to look at that situation and be like, well, you know, he didn't win. This would be like similar to Markelle Fultz, but the NC State was a mess.
Yeah.
So I just hope it's not held against him. But he's going to be a lot of people's favorite player, you know, like 5 years in because he's a freak.
So, I mean, you look at the depth in the draft and it's disappointing, but are you going to get a better player at, well, 2 might not be better than 5, you know?
There's a chance. Well, this is where the scouting departments are going to earn their money.
Sure.
And it probably hurts the Lakers that they just had this huge shakeup. You know, they just did all this organizational change. I mean, I wonder if they've got the guys in place between now and the draft to do the proper, you know, work to figure out who they want to take it to.
But, I just don't see how they could take anyone but Lonzo Ball.
I don't know. It's going to be interesting. You know, I'm going to check the Vegas odds after this podcast, and I'm really curious what the odds are because Vegas somehow does a pretty good job of this.
Yeah,
and I'm curious. I know, it just feels like the lazy, you know, analysis to say it's for sure going to be Lonzo at 2.
But you know, I just can't see any other scenario with. With everything that Lonzo said, he's going to – well, I mean, it's tough. If you only work out for the Lakers, what if they don't pick you?
Right.
You know?
I mean, if you are – look, if you're in his position and you're only going to work out for one team, maybe Philadelphia doesn't want to take you, right?
Right.
Like maybe you don't fit in the organizational culture.
Right.
You know? Maybe the Kings have decided that, hey, you know what? We care about – you know, how, like, the attitude that these guys bring when they come to our workouts.
Or even like what I was saying with the Suns.
Yeah.
What's your defensive backcourt look like if you're Booker and Ball, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and so next thing you know, he could drop to the Knicks. Worst case scenario, yeah. Right? Like,
he's not dropping below the Knicks.
No, the Knicks would definitely take Lonzo Ball. The we Knicks would take LeVar Ball if he was in the draft. So, all right, Mike. It's good talking to you, man.
Yep, always good talking to you.
We will talk again soon.